everybody, and welcome to From the Mezzanine. I'm your host, Lindsay Stone, and let's get into this week's episode. How is everybody doing? I am doing fantastic because I have so much to catch y'all up on. You know that I, like, talked for, I don't know, maybe 25 minutes last episode about all my Broadway updates, and there's just a lot going on right now, and this week was absolutely no different. I have so much to tell you guys, and I know that y'all are excited for what I'm going to tell you because I'm so excited. I can't even believe the last week that I've had. Safe to say, though, I am exhausted, and it was such a Broadway busy week that I had to turn things down that I would have never thought I would have turned down. So let's just get into it of me telling you all of the happenings, and I hope if you're listening to this, you don't get FOMO, because if I listen to a podcast where somebody was just talking and updating and telling everybody what they did, like, Broadway-wise, I think I would get really bad FOMO, unless I could relate, unless I could go do these things too, or if I was planning a trip or something. Let me know what y'all think. I hope that I'm not, like, just causing you to have FOMO, or maybe I just have, like, a major issue with FOMO that typical people possibly do not, because I know y'all enjoy hearing the recaps of the shows. However, I hope I'm not just, like, making you sad that you don't get to come and experience these things, because that would suck. Because now that I'm being put in y'all's shoes, I could see feeling that, honestly. But anyways, that's not going to stop me from talking about it, because it's on my agenda for the podcast today. So I have a lot to tell y'all about. First of all, I just got to, like, recount last weekend, and I recorded, like, earlier in the weekend, and I had a very big day on Sunday. We were going to Curtain Up, which is a Playbill performance that happens in Times Square, and they quite literally had, give or take, at least 20 to 30 different shows perform. They had, like, people from the plays come and talk. They had, like, a lot of shows that aren't even on Broadway yet come and perform, which was so cool. And those were definitely the major standouts for me because we got to see a first glimpse at these shows. Those shows being, number one, How to Dance in Ohio, which I am unbelievably hyped for. If you don't know what it's about, it follows these, I believe it's six young adults who have autism, and they're all in a group together. And the leader of the group wants to challenge them to advance their social skills, put them in new scenarios, and that he wants to lead them to go to a dance and, like, invite people to the dance, learn how to dance, and all of this stuff. So it sounds like probably the most endearing and heartwarming story, and I'm so excited for the show. And Liam Pierce was there, and he sang Building Momentum. This song alone gets me so excited for this show. It's like, I'm building momentum, the final da-da-da, I'm building momentum. And he's like, it just, like, even thinking about it just makes me so emotional and, like, so excited for this show because it has real people with autism in it and it's going to be so huge. Like, I really think it's going to, like, take Broadway by storm, and I cannot express my excitement enough. And from what I have heard, the music is actually stellar. And so I'm very excited about that. And it is opening in the spring. And so that was exciting that we got to get a little tidbit of that before it's even open. So excited for that. And then we also got to hear from Harmony, which is the Barry Manilow show that he has been working on for decades. And it follows the singing troupe, and it's a comedic troupe. And so they're very, very talented men at the forefront, and they sang a little doo-wop-like song. And they're pretty funny. I think that that's going to be a good show. I hope that it does well, given that it has been in development for forever and it's finally coming to Broadway. I mean, why now? I wonder why the cards have finally fallen to where it can come to Broadway when it's been trying for this for so long. But it does seem like a great show. Julie Banco is in it as well. I actually joined her TikTok live this past week, and she was saying that they're already in rehearsals for it, and so that's exciting. But those were the two major standouts from Curtain Up. It was a crazy day, though. Mind you, it started at 10 a.m. And at about 9:55, boom, New York City was in a torrential downpour. And about 30 minutes after the show had started, we were all standing out in the rain, completely soaked, head to toe. Once we got out there, after 30 minutes, they suspended it for a flood warning. So that gives you an idea of how rainy it was. So me and the person that I went with, we took the opportunity. We're like, hey, doesn't the Sweeney Todd Rush go on sale in like 30 minutes? Let's go check out the line. And it was, I thought it was a pretty long line. But the person that I was with has some experience with doing Rush, and they were like, oh no, it's not that bad. And so we waited it out, only 30 minutes, and we secured tickets to go and see Sweeney Todd. This was my second time to see it. I was beyond excited. This show is definitely a show you could see 10 times, and I feel like you would still find new nuances and meanings for things and symbolism. And like, there's so much that I noticed the second time around that the first time I loved it. Like, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed it. However, once you see a show a second time, you can just grasp a lot more, I feel like, than you did the first. And it was so flipping fantastic. We got so lucky. We had the entire cast, all the main roles were in the show. They told us that Josh Groban was actually going on vacation the very next day. So we got pretty lucky. Annalee Ashford continues to amaze me. I don't know how. I don't know how, who, what, when, why, or how, where. I don't know how she didn't get the Tony for Best Actress. It blows my mind. I know that she's kind of polarizing. I know people don't love her in this role. I don't understand how you could have that opinion. I think she is flawless in this role. She is so funny. Every line she says is like, it doesn't sound like it was ever written on a page. She makes it her own. It sounds so authentic. She is so killer. And Josh Groban, I mean, need I say more? He is one of the best talents in our generation right now. I did raise a question though. I was curious what you guys think. Who do you think could replace Josh Groban? And will this be like a Music Man situation once Hugh Jackman's contract is up? Will it leave? I don't think that it will. I feel like they can find somebody to replace him that would be very good, because Sweeney Todd is a coveted role. I saw Christian Borle just this week. He made a video for, who was it for? It might have been for like Broadway.com. And every answer is being interviewed. He worked Sweeney Todd into every answer because it's his favorite show. He's obsessed with it. He also sounded like he loves Josh Groban, but he definitely didn't want him to mess up this role. And it sounds like he would accept this role in a heartbeat. So if they had Christian Borle on as Sweeney Todd, I don't know that I could see it, but I'm sure he could do it well. It's just very different than what we're used to seeing him in. And Christian is definitely a theater star, not a like general celebrity. Like Josh Groban brings in a ton of patrons because they know him from his singing career. And so if Christian Borle was replaced, I think that it would do well, but not nearly as well as it is currently doing. Plus, I would love to see the Annalee Ashford, Christian Borle chemistry between them too. It's like Legally Blonde all over again, but with a new L. Like, that would be pretty cool. I could see it, I think. I think I could see Christian Borle as Sweeney. And it would be fun to see a different side of him. But anyways, yes, Sweeney Todd was so freaking incredible. And it's not a new story today, but they had some malfunctions with their set this week. And they figured it out right before the show started. So everybody had already arrived. And so Thomas Kail came out and spoke very candidly to the audience. And he just said, well, we plan on doing a show for y'all tonight. It's not going to happen. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And he said, would you mind if we just sing some of the songs for you? And I think I read that they did like a 40-minute just concert with very minimal props. And they just sang the songs. And everybody in the audience was refunded. So they practically got a free concert show of Sweeney Todd. So that's pretty incredible. I'm sure a lot of people were very let down. I know that I would have been, because it takes a lot of effort to even get to a Broadway show. But at the end of the day, you have a very unique experience that not a lot of people can say that they had. So that is equally cool, I would say, but still probably a major letdown. But at least they refunded the whole audience. That's the beauty of live theater, folks. I mean, things go wrong. And when they do, it's always just a little bit exciting. Exciting for the audience when you can see that things go wrong. Like whenever I went and saw Some Like It Hot, Sue dropped like a handkerchief. And I mean, me as a theater person, I'm like, what are they going to do with the handkerchief? Are they going to give it back to her? Are they going to pick it up? Are they going to sweep it under the rug? What are they going to do? So like, I'm watching that handkerchief, like, what's going to happen? You know, it's so exciting. So then in addition to Curtain Up and Sweeney Todd, this week I did win the lottery for Pearly Victorious to go and see Leslie Odom Jr. And after careful consideration, I decided, you know what? I'm okay for now. I just saw Sweeney Todd. This was literally 2 days after I saw Sweeney Todd. Last week I saw Some Like It Hot. And I low-key wanted to get the Gutenberg tickets for Friday for their opening preview. And I knew that that was happening and I was going to try to do that. So I was like, I'm going to sit this one out. And I think it's a pretty easy lottery win because my friend won the lottery for it too. So if you're wanting to see the show, I would definitely recommend you do Lottery for Pearly Victorious. It's on Telecharge. But I never would have thought that I would have declined a lottery to go and see Leslie Odom Jr. But if I have like some time to chill out because I've literally been spending all my money and going on Broadway shows. So if I get an opportunity to chill out and I win the lottery again, I definitely want to see this show for sure. So I kind of foreshadowed a little bit, but Friday, this past Friday, was the first preview of Gutenberg, the musical, which stars Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad. And I have been oh so closely following this show and oh so interested in seeing it. Like, I can't even begin to describe how badly I've wanted to see this show. Ticket prices are not super steep, so I was certain that I would have the opportunity to see it. However, I was very ambitious in the fact that I asked my lovely boyfriend slash editor of this show, would he consider going to the Rush for Gutenberg on Friday morning, because I worked so I couldn't do it myself. And he so graciously said, yeah, of course. And so he got to the theater. I'll give you all the deets so that y'all can go do this for yourselves. But he got to the theater at 9. The box office opened at 10. And he was probably about, looked like there might have been about 10 people in front of him. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have to think about the fact that they're all getting probably 2 tickets each. Like, I hope we get them. I bet we won't because it's opening previews. They're not going to allocate a ton of seats to Rush tickets when they could just sell them since it's opening preview. But thank the Lord, by the grace of God, we freaking got Rush tickets to go and see Gutenberg the musical. And wow, I was jumping up and down when he called me and told me he got them. I was so excited. Mind you, we were in the front of the mezzanine. Oh my gosh, can you even imagine? Can you even believe? For $40 a ticket, that is the way to go, honey. We were all the way to like to the far right, but it was totally fine. It was not an obstructed view. It was barely a partial view, but not enough to lose out or miss out on any of the story. So holy cannoli, was I so flipping excited. And we got to the theater, and there's something about either an opening night or an opening preview. The energy is palpable. It is so electric, and everybody is hanging on to every last word that the actors are saying. They're laughing so much louder. Like, it's just the best. The best. And you're all sharing this unique experience of being one of the first people to see this show, which is so cool. So Gutenberg itself, I don't even know where to begin. It was so funny. Like, we were dying laughing. Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad, without a doubt, are some of the most talented comedic actors that I have ever seen. It is so easy. Josh Gad, oh my God, he is so talented. He makes it so effervescent. The way he delivers every single line is just like, it rolls right off the tongue and you are dying laughing. He is a talent, and that is an understatement. And their pairing together, just like you want to hold it in your little hand, like you love them so much. They're the most precious BFFs. And Gutenberg the musical, I guess I'll give you all a little bit of an idea of what the story is about without giving too much of it away, but you will quickly realize how comedic this story just naturally is. So it's based on these two playwrights, And it's a two-man show. It is just Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad for the entire time. That's it. Very minimalistic set. So they are playing these two playwrights who are writing a musical, and they have the idea to base it off of Johann Gutenberg, the inventor of the printing press, because most musicals are based off of like a historical figure. And so they're basically like falsifying his story for their own benefit of making like an interesting show. And so it gets pretty wild, as you can probably imagine, when they're definitely using their imaginations to enhance this historical story that is literally about the person who invented the printing press. Oh my God. So they're like in this town in Germany, and they're like, everybody can't read. It's just like, it's so funny, guys. Like, go see this show. It is so funny. And for it to be these two, it's not crass. Like, I would have expected it to be a little more, like, unhinged and crass just because of what we know them from in Book of Mormon. And that's about as crass as you can get on Broadway. But no, it was very quality, like, good, clean, for the most part, comedy. Not always clean. But clean for the most part. And it was just so sweet. Like, their friendship. And if you've seen it, which I hope that some of you have, but it's literally just came out, so there's a chance that nobody has. But if you've seen it, my favorite part is when they go, and it's an ongoing joke, but they go, "So, you're probably wondering why, like, after almost every song." And the way, oh my God, it's just the mannerisms that they do. They are such geniuses. It is so funny. I cannot wait to go and see the show again. And definitely, guys, I would recommend doing the rush for it, because considering we got good seats for the first night of previews, I would guess that unless you were going to the opening or the closing night, you'd have pretty good luck. But it was just beyond expectations. And I cannot wait to go again. It was so much fun. So with that, folks, let's head on in to our Broadway grosses. So this week is going to be really interesting. We have No More Funny Girl on the list. There might be a few others that are not on the list, but we'll figure it out as we go. It's looking like it looked like before Funny Girl had its like last month. So it's actually looking pretty standard. So we have Lion King at number one. Number two is Hamilton. Three is Wicked. Four is Sweeney Todd. That's great. MJ is fifth. Aladdin is sixth. Harry Potter is seventh. Moulin Rouge is eight. That's a spike. Back to the Future is nine. And Angelia is 10. We're kind of at this awkward point because a lot of shows have closed. So the list right now is actually so short. A lot of things have closed. So there's honestly just not much on this list, but for those top 10, that's pretty great. And like the ones that have pushed their way into the top 10 are really like Sweeney Todd and Back to the Future. Other than that, like Angelia has been pretty stagnant where they are. I would say this is a pretty typical week. No big developments, unfortunately, but of course, as things are closing, things will begin to arrive. Next week, we should see Gutenberg on this list, which will be exciting to see. Should I do a prediction? Let me first see how many seats are in the James Earl Jones Theater. Okay, there's just over 1,000 seats in the James Earl Jones Theater, which does make it relatively small. It was a pretty small theater. So that does inhibit their ability to get really high up in the ranks. But I feel like it would be safe to say that it might be like number nine for their opening week. That's what I'm gonna guess. Number nine for Gutenberg's opening week. We will check back next week and see how all of the chips fall. So, Broadway news, folks. I'm sure when you saw this, you might have had a reaction similar to me, sent it to your friends, figured out who was coming, got way more excited than maybe you should have. It was announced this past week that Aaron Tveit, Christian the composer, is going to be performing at Studio 54 on New Year's Eve. Oh my God. Can you even imagine a better way to ring in the new year? Like that, you would have such good juju for the rest of the year if you spent it with Aaron Tveit. Unfortunately, I don't think it's in the cards for me, because once they put the tickets on sale the following day and we all got a good look at the cost, we all probably got a little bit sad. So the tickets start at $375 doll hairs. And they go up to $575, and they have a lot of rounds of pre-sale if you're a friend of Studio 54, a patron, all of this and that, and I am none of the above, so I will be waiting until it goes on general admission, and by that time, I have a creeping suspicion that the most expensive tickets are going to be the only thing that is left. Not that I'm really considering the $375 tickets, however, it is somewhat a bang for your buck, because one, you get to see Aaron Tveit. I would have paid probably about $150, period, for that. That's how much I would have paid. And then they say you get a multi-course dinner, an open bar, so unlimited drinks, food, desserts, that kind of thing. It starts at 11 o'clock, though. The doors open at 10, and then it starts at 11. So who is needing a multi-course dinner after 11 o'clock? Like, no, my digestive system is shut down for the day, honey. Like, I don't need a feast at that time. That's crazy. So I just think that that's a little silly. But then they do say that, oh, don't worry, you can continue to party the night away far after midnight. But it's like, but will Aaron be there, or is he like peacing out and going home? Like, is Aaron there? Because I know he's probably going to sing for an hour. And then, like, is he going to hang? Probably not. Maybe he will. But probably not. And they don't say how long they're going to leave the doors open. So, I mean, if I can, like, hang out until breakfast time and get some free breakfast with it, too, then maybe I could... No. I'm trying so hard to make this all make sense and rationalize this cost. But at the end of the day, Aaron, I have already spent... Ooh, Lord of mercy. You don't even know how much money I've spent to go and see you in the Moulin Rouge. So just to go for, like, a one-hour New Year's performance, I don't think I can rationalize this cost. I think a lot of us were so excited. And then we saw the price and we're like, skizzerp, like, wasn't expecting that. So exciting that he is performing at Studio 54. But on the counter side of that, what? This price is ridiculous. I know it's a small venue. It's very intimate. It's lovely. But it's not for me. It's just not for me. And I need to learn to accept that. But if you're going, please send me videos. Or FaceTime. We can become friends and you can FaceTime me. And I can pretend to be there with you, and I will drink my cheap champagne from the comfort of my home and pretend that I am at 54 below. What is wrong with my head, guys? I always say Studio 54. Somebody help me. It is not at Studio 54. It is at 54 below. I will never get that right ever. Sorry, backtrack. This is all happening at 54 below. So if you have the means... And I am not jealous. Go to 54 Below's website and you can find the tickets for this. They are going to go on sale this coming Thursday to the general public. Alrighty, guys. Next story. Rachel McAdams will be making her Broadway debut in a new play called Mary Jane. Now, this is going to be put on by the Manhattan Theater Club, and it is going to be directed by Anne Kaufman. And she was also the director of Signed in Sidney Brunstein's Window and Marvin's Room. So this is just exciting because Rachel McAdams, the OG Regina George, is coming to Broadway. Mind you, it's very ironic because it's at the same time that The Notebook, the musical, is coming to Broadway. So I have a feeling this season will be all things Rachel McAdams. She will be the queen. She will be like the new Jessica Chastain on Broadway, and everybody will be living for Miss Rachel and her becoming the ultimate theater kid. So for this show, let me tell y'all a little bit about what it is about. So it follows a single mom who is raising a child that is battling a difficult illness and the community of women around her that become a makeshift family. Sounds good. It's giving a little bit of Fried Green Tomatoes, right? Or Sweet Magnolias. I always get those mixed up. Performances are going to begin on April 2nd, and this is going to be at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. So this is just exciting. I would love to see Rachel McAdams perform. I actually haven't seen like a lot of Hollywood stars in shows, honestly, just because once their name is attached to it, the ticket price skyrockets. But if I had the opportunity, I would love to see her in this show. And it's always just kind of fun. I feel like this might be like a toxic theater kid trait to like when celebrities and Hollywood stars come to Broadway, but it is fun and it is exciting and it does do really good things for Broadway. And I don't know a whole lot about the show that she's going to be in, Mary Jane, but as the performances come a little bit closer, we find out the opening night, yada yada, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about the story and how Rachel became a part of it. Our last news story for this week is the announcement that Water for Elephants is coming to Broadway. So Water for Elephants, it's based off of a novel that also turned into a movie which starred Reese Witherspoon, Robert Pattinson, and I never saw or read either of this material. So I quite honestly don't know much about what it is about other than the fact that I read that it follows a man who is running away from his life and joins a traveling circus. So it's giving Greatest Showman a little bit. Why can't we just have Greatest Showman come to Broadway? I ask myself that question every single day, but I digress. But this was a popular movie when it came out, I remember, so maybe it'll do pretty well on Broadway. So it is going to be debuting at the Imperial Theater on February 24th, and then the opening night is scheduled for March 24th, 2024. So it's coming up pretty quickly. The show is going to be directed by the same director who did the crowd favorite, Kimberly Akimbo, Miss Jessica Stone, and the casting is yet to be announced, but we do know this had an off-Broadway tryout in Atlanta, and Isabel McCullough, who is now playing Maisie in Shucked, was one of the leads of this show. Did that make any sense? I hope that it did. So she's already occupied on Broadway, so I would assume she's not going to be in the show and they'll have to recast, but casting is yet to be announced for this show. The director, Jessica Stone, made the comment, quote, "What excites me most about Water for Elephants is working with our enormous design and creative team, an incredible group of artists from different avenues of storytelling, from Broadway veterans to puppeteers to circus artists. We have an eclectic collection of internationally acclaimed and innovative creators." She goes on to say, quote, "What's amazing about the culture of the circus is that you're dependent upon one another to do a trick safely. So, as a team, we really must all lean on one another. If we do our jobs well and connect with our audience, we will, quite literally, get the story off the page and into the air," quote. She does make this show sound so, so interesting. It's kind of giving like if Cirque du Soleil meets Broadway. So I think that that's a really fun concept. And at the very least, it sounds like the visuals are going to be awesome. So that's super exciting. It also is giving a little bit of Pippin, you know, with the circus aspect. This is a very familiar trope, I feel, in theater, and it typically does pretty well. So I'm eager to see how this does. It is, of course, based off of a movie, so it's not an original musical, sadly. And after I saw Some Like It Hot, I'm really having an issue with these non-original shows that are based off of movies. It feels like at some points they're just trying to remain true to the movie rather than like where the story actually wants to go. Like they're trying so hard to align with the story that's already been told when it feels like their new story should go in a different direction. I hope that you know what I mean, but sometimes it just feels like this must have to do with the movie because it doesn't have much to do with the show that I'm watching. I don't think that a show based off of a movie is impossible. I, of course, love Moulin Rouge. But yeah, we will definitely be following this, especially as they begin to cast the show, and I'm excited to see how it does. With that, folks, thank you so much for listening to this episode of From the Mezzanine. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a musical theater loving friend who you think would enjoy this show just as much as you. And while you're at it, hey, go ahead and leave me a 5-star review wherever you are listening right now. Be sure to follow my Instagram and TikTok at From the Mezzanine, or you can find all of my social media links in the show notes below. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you again next Tuesday. Bye!